Welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
Well, hi friends, it's Jonathan here, and it's my privilege to share with you the word wherever you are, whether it's Sunday morning, whether it's another time, whether you're watching this with your small group or however you're engaging with this, we're glad that you are engaging with this. And big shout out to those who have contacted us during the week. Thank you. We trust that things are going well for you. Hey, I don't know where you are, but I'm in my workshop, and I'm here today because at Seeds Home in our buildings, we have Kid Venture up and away. And that's fairly noisy in there, which is great, which I love it. But it's not so conducive to recording something for our online community, our online campus. So I'm actually here in my workshop at home. And I'm not going to give you a tour of the workshop because I haven't really cleaned it up super well. It's not too bad, but it could be better. But I'm here in my workshop because I want to talk to you about disciples who make disciples. Something I've been talking about for quite a while and banging on for most of this year about discipleship. But I'm here in my workshop because once upon a time, I was a disciple. In fact, I was an apprentice and I did my apprenticeship as a carpenter joiner. And I learned how to do a whole pile of things that I continue and still do. Some of those techniques that I was taught back when I was sort of 15 to 19, I still practice. And for me, an apprenticeship is a really good understanding of how to be a disciple. And so I thought, why not record this in my workshop where I can live into being an apprentice, being a disciple of Jesus. And I want to lead you today into this, how we be a better disciple, how we be disciples who make disciples, how we be a disciple who not just lives for ourselves, but connects with what God's doing in the world and what God is asking us to do. So let me lead you in prayer and then I'll get on with what I'm going to say. Jesus, we pray, even in this strange setting, would your word come through? Would you speak to us through your word, through your ways and through your works? And will we know more about you this day? In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you, like I said, about how Jesus made disciples. Now, remember the definition I've given of a disciple. A disciple is someone who hears from God and obeys what they hear. So hears about the way of God and obeys what they hear. I hope you're getting that message. I hope you're starting to understand what I'm talking about, what Nick and I have been communicating to you about a disciple is someone who hears and obeys. Often we hear and we don't obey. Now, last week I spoke about how we hear, and I know that's been helpful for some people, and we'll speak more about that. Nick and I was preaching to that and teaching to that a little bit further. But I want to take you on a journey of Luke's gospel. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to open up to Luke's gospel, that would be really, really helpful. Because often we look at the words of Jesus, but not his ways or his works. There's a lot to be learned from how he did things. It wasn't random acts. Because the way Jesus trained his disciples gives us a clue, in fact, gives us a pattern how we can be disciples who make disciples as well. Okay? It means that we actually need to get involved and be on mission with God. Now this is not just a random thing that happened in Jesus' time and then stopped. We can see this happening, the pattern of this happening throughout the New Testament. And so particularly with Barnabas and Paul, we see how Barnabas obviously was a disciple of Jesus, whether he knew Jesus or was one of the 72 that Jesus sent out, or very early on, he was discipled in the way of Jesus. And he does the same with the Apostle Paul. And a little bit later on, in maybe next year or later throughout this year, we'll pick up on that and we'll explain how that happens. But it's meant to not stop with Jesus. It didn't stop with Jesus' disciples. Why do I say that? Because our faith, the Christian faith, is only ever one generation away from dying. I just pause there for that moment. We'll just think about that. Christianity is only one generation away from dying. That's really significant. And I think we need to grasp the salience of that and to know that. Discipleship did not end with Jesus' disciples, but it kept going. Okay, so when Jesus ascended into heaven, his disciples knew what to do because they were trained by Jesus to know what to do and how to engage with the world, how to engage with the mission that Jesus has for them. This suggests to me that it's movement orientated. It needs to keep moving. And we're part of that movement as well. In fact, somebody shared faith with you who was part of that movement. And it's our privilege to share that on with others. You know, our Western culture is very static in terms of this and how we understand faith. It becomes a personal thing. It becomes all about me and about my needs. That's not how Jesus interpreted it. That's not what Jesus started. It was about movement, sharing faith with others. We need to learn movements. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't start with a blank canvas. Okay, Jesus was always and remained very relational. And that's how he operates even at this moment. So Jesus wasn't some sort of supersonic Christian mugger that went around, you know, grabbing people and shaking them into the kingdom of God. No, he worked on relationships. And his approach was always, now listen to this, this is very important. You need to understand this. His approach was always to engage where God was already working. He always engaged where God was already working. He was looking for signs where God is active. And he used the relational networks that he had and to engage in the relationships and the relationships of others to engage where the kingdom of God was and how he was going about his work and his mission. It wasn't just random. There was no randomness in what Jesus was doing. It was specific, strategic, and relational. So Jesus trained and he trusted his disciples. Okay? So what's the pattern we see in the New Testament? So we're learning about his ways. Okay, remember, his words are very important. Absolutely. I'll read some of those out in a minute. But his ways, what he did and how he did it, his methods. He trusted them before they felt they were ready. Okay, so this is going to get really interesting really quick because he trusts us before we feel we are ready. You know, I've got a wonderful gentleman who's been journeying with a couple of us for the last couple of years, and I want to call him my discipleship coach. He's been coaching us and helping us in this space. He tells me that when you believe you are 60% ready, you are ready. It's a bit of a worry, isn't it? 60% ready. That's only just the pass mark, isn't it? 60% ready, you are already ready. Too often, he says to me, we wait around until we are perfect. And that's not the thing. When do we ever get perfect? Because we don't. We learn stuff, we forget it. We need to put it into action straight away. So the challenge that we have before us is to be obedient, not perfect. Okay? Obedience, not perfection. If you're writing notes, write that down. Obedience, not perfection. So one of the best examples of Jesus calling others is found in Luke 5. If you've got your Bibles, I've got mine sitting here on my sawbench at the moment. Luke chapter 5, and I'm reading from verses 1 to 11. Okay, so Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it out a little from shore. There he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Verse 5, Simon answered, Master, you can hear the exasperation in his voice, can't you? Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that both began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled up their boats up on shore, left everything, and they followed him. Wow. Wow. That's extraordinary, isn't it? Absolutely extraordinary how Jesus engages. And so what he's doing is he's teaching how to make disciples. And so what he's doing is he's modeling what he wants them to do a little bit later on. How's he doing that? Well, he's always relational, isn't he? And he's always invitational. So come and see. Come on. Come on, let's engage. Let's connect. Let's dialogue. Let's have this relationship together. And then the invitation to this, it's not demanding, it's not telling, it's saying, come on, you might find this helpful. Come and see whether this works for you. And that's how Jesus continues to work now. It's invitational all the time. Come and see. And he's purposeful. Like, it's not just random, come and see, and then we might go to McDonald's afterwards. No, come and see if you like that. And they did. They saw that. They saw him moving. They saw he's working. They saw the power that he has. They saw who Jesus truly was. That's why Peter says, "Get away from me, I'm a sinful man." They see him there in his glory, in his honor. There's something about this man. When they see him, Jesus says, "Righto, come on, let's finish with the trivia. You're good fishers. Let's have you fish of people. Let's ramp this up a notch. Let's do something that's eternal, not just feeding people, but enabling people to see the glory of God and enter into the kingdom of God." Notice the couple of things that the fishermen do here. Okay, notice a couple of things. What Jesus is asking and what the response that he prompts. It's this: they like him. Okay, well, they wouldn't allow him in the boat. They didn't like him. So there's obviously a precursor to this, and there's a relationship. And you can see, actually, in John's Gospel, John 1, you can see the precursor to this and the engagement that Jesus has with them. They like him. They listen to him. Put out in deeper water. They listen. "Because you say so, Master," says Peter, or Simon Peter. And they serve him. "We will take you out there. Of course we will. And we'll come and we'll follow you." And so here's the thing. Jesus is looking for people whom God is already at work. God is already active in their lives. The Spirit of God is already at work. And so these things, like, listen, and serve, are three marks where we can discern if God is active in somebody's life. And I'm going to say to you, if someone sees you and they like you, they listen to you and they serve you, maybe God's active in their life as well. So Jesus, in doing this, is training his disciples in how to be a disciple, and what's more, how to be a disciple who finds and trains other disciples. Okay, that invitational, come and see, come and test out Jesus for yourself. Now, he does this a little bit later on in the chapter. And so let me flick through, and if you've got your Bibles, let's go to Luke chapter 9. And I'm just going to flip over to Luke chapter 9 and verses 1 to 6. So it's only just a few pages past this, which is quite extraordinary. And Jesus is straight away engaging them in mission. He's straight away telling them enabling them what to do. He's at 60% ready. Okay, I bet you they weren't ready at all. So when Jesus had called the 12 together, okay, Luke chapter 9, verse 1, when Jesus has called the 12 together, I'll just make sure where I stop at the right spot, verse 6, 1 to 6. He gave them power and authority to drive out demons and cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Now, I'm going to pick that up again in a moment. Some of that language has developed a little bit further on in chapter 10. But notice what Jesus has done. Jesus is now teaching his disciples to do. So it's this apprentice model, this tradesman apprentice model. Like, watch what I'm doing, or experience what I'm doing, and then do what I'm doing. And I'll nurture you and I'll help you. I'll give you the power and authority, but do what I'm doing. Now, notice that Jesus says, so let me just pick my Bible back up again there for a moment. Sorry if I came off camera. He says, proclaim the kingdom of God. Proclaim the kingdom of God. So you've got your Bibles. Let's roll over to Mark chapter 1. And here we go. Here's Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. If you haven't got your Bibles with you, just note this down and look this up for yourself because it's really significant. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So here we go. There we go. Proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus defines that here because he's using this particular word in verse 15. The time has come. That's the word there, kairos, which literally can be translated like this. Divine initiative, human opportunity. I'll just pause there for a moment and think about that. Divine initiative, human opportunity. What does that mean? Well, it's actually quite straightforward. God's doing something. Do you want to engage in it? God's active. God's moving. God's around. God's here, in fact. What are you going to do about it? Do you want to engage with it? Do you want to be part of it? Do you want to come on board with it? Come and see, Jesus says. Now here, that when Jesus says that in Mark's gospel, like there'd been silence for 400 years. And all of a sudden Jesus burst on the scene and says, God's here, God's active, there's this divine work going on, something's moving, do you want to be part of it? Okay, so he sends out the 12 and they come back rejoicing because of all the things that are happening on to them. But then this is where the crux hits. We can say, right, okay, that's Jesus. Okay, fair enough, that's Jesus. That's the 12 disciples, right? They walked with Jesus. Yep, of course they did. Well, let's get a little bit further on. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, okay? So if you've got your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 10. And what am I doing here? I don't know. Luke chapter 10. Let me find it. Luke chapter 10, verses 1. To verse 8. Okay, let's stop at verse 8. So Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to verse 8. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others. Now, I'll just pause there because I just thought of something I want to say. Don't forget, this is just a few chapters after he's called the disciples. Like, we're not talking eons here. We're not talking decades here. We're talking fairly quickly after Jesus has started his work. He sent out the 12, and now he's got 72. And what's he doing? He's sending them out as well. Let's keep reading. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking, whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome there, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, verse 9, I went a little bit longer. Heal the sick, verse 9, who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. Okay. Right, so we pick up on Luke 5, the first calling of Peter and his mates fishing, and then Luke 9 with the 12 getting sent out, and then all of a sudden we've got the 72. So all of a sudden it's getting really wide, and there's lots of people. Did you notice what we didn't find in that passage? We didn't find any reference to Bible college or seminary. We didn't find any ordination. We didn't find any particular critical study that they had to do or courses they had to pass. They'd been with Jesus. They'd come and seen Jesus. They'd accepted Jesus, and he empowers them to go out. He was training them, working with them. Here's the apprenticeship model underway. Now, Jesus makes this so simple, and we make it so hard. It's so simple. It's everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to participate. Everybody gets to be part of what Jesus is doing in the world and how he's working. He's trained the 12. Now he trains the 72. The harvest is ready. Go and tell them what? The kingdom of God is near. Divine opportunity, divine initiative, human opportunity. That's what's happening. And what's their message? That's the same message. Jesus is coming. Come and see this Jesus who's coming. Come and experience him for yourself. Maybe you too might like to choose him. The invitational response. Now, Jesus, let me just say this. Jesus makes following him simple and he resists all attempts to make it complex. Show me anywhere in the scriptures where Jesus makes following him complex. You can't, because he makes it simple. Simple does not mean that it's not hard, that's not sacrificial, but it means clear and something that anybody can do, even you, even this bloke here standing in his workshop with the puffer jacket on because it's cold, can makes it following Jesus simple. And I'm making it simple for you today. As a follower of Jesus, we are designed. Here's the thing. Here's the rub. Here's where I'm going. We are designed to be disciples who make disciples. What happened there, those three little episodes, is meant to be passed on billions of times. Disciples who make disciples. We're meant to be people who go, hey, God's doing something. Do you want to engage with it? Come and see. Come and see this Jesus. So, how do you know if there's someone in your life that God's working in their life? How do you know someone that you're in relationship with? Remember, it's all about relationships, relationship networks. How do you know there's someone in your life that God's at work in? It's quite simple. I've already told you the answer. When God is at work in someone, this is a rule of thumb, okay? This is how we get a sense. If someone, now to coin a phrase or to carry on a phrase that's been used recently, how do we know if someone in our life is a person of peace? Like we like the 72 being sent out. We like the 72 million being sent out. Okay. How do we know if that person for us is a person of peace? When we go to their house, peace rests upon them. How do we know? I've already told you. They like you. They listen to you and they serve you. All right, let me just run through those three things. They like you. They enjoy your company. You know people like that. And you're like that to people. You enjoy their company. There's a resonance with them. They know you. In fact, they know you so well that they remember your name. Okay? It's not often, doesn't happen all that often, does it? There's a resonance with you and with them. Okay? So something going on. So they like you. They listen to you. They don't talk over you, all right? They listen to your stories. They engage with you. They're curious about you, okay? So there's a dialogue. It's relationship. It's that simple. And they serve you. Now somehow they, in some particular way, they look after you and they serve your needs. Not, you know, like this is not something as a culture we find easy to be served. But if we allow people to serve us, we get a glimpse of what God's doing in their life. Remember, like, listen, and serve. Those three things could mean that they are a person of peace for us. Now, like I said, what we do is when we find someone like this, we start to call, I've been starting to call, and a few others have been starting to call that a person of peace. Okay, someone whom God is already at work in their life. Now, I reckon at right about now, you've got a name that's come in your head. Someone who is a person of peace for you. And I reckon that right about now, you're thinking, I reckon that person that so-and-so or where I met or relative or a really good friend or someone... Someone just casual acquaintance is like that for you. Right? If you're taking notes, or even if you're not, jot that name down. Pull out your phone and jot that name down in notes somewhere. Remember that name and maybe this is the call to you to pray for that person. Say, God, what are you doing in that person's life that I can be part of? What are you doing in their life that I can augment and help and promote and connect with and that I can actually inhabit the role of your spirit to make it more and to bring it to some sort of conclusion in their life so that they actually come and follow Jesus too. Now, so here's where the rub hits the road for us, and I've already been there. Like the mission of Jesus, the discipling work of Jesus didn't stop with the 12 and didn't stop with the 72. It rolled on and it sort of went out like that further, includes all of us who love Jesus and call him as our master. It continues to us. Now, that's some really simple stuff, but it's some really profound stuff. So I'm not going to push this envelope too much more, but I've got some questions. We're going to put them up on the screen for you. So maybe, you know, you can, if you're really good shorthand, you can jot them down, or you can just take a little quick photo of them as they come up on the screen. For you to think through. Now, if you're meeting with a small group, then here's some great questions for you to work through your small group, or if you're having lunch with somebody, discuss them over lunch, or if it's just you listening to this alone, then write them down and spend some time thinking about them and praying over them, okay? So, have you felt somewhere in your life that you've bumped into a person of peace? And who are they? Okay, and if you're in a small group, come on, let's be brave, let's name them. Okay, who can you pray for that is a person of peace in your life? And can you identify someone who does these three things? Here's the big step though. Okay, what is the obedience step that God is asking you to take at this particular moment? Believing that God speaks through his word, the preached word, what is the obedience step that God is asking you to take at this moment? And secondly, who are you going to tell about that obedience step that God is asking you to take? So, in summary, three questions really. Who is the person of peace for you? And who are you praying for? Who are you going to pray for? What is the obedience step? And who are you going to tell about that obedience step? Three things that if you follow through and if you do them, they could change somebody's life. They could change somebody's eternal life. They could change somebody's family life. It could change a generation. Let me pray. And I'll trust this moment and this time to God and God's Spirit working in your life as well. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for the way in which you acted that we can learn too. That we can understand and we can know and we can partner with what you're doing. How exciting is that? We are the workers in the vineyard when the harvest is ripe. Show us who our persons of peace are. Help us to be courageous in how we step in and engage with them. And help us, Lord, to understand even more. In your name we pray. Amen. In due course, we're going to teach, once you've identified a person of peace, we're going to teach, so what do you do? Where do you go from here? Well, we'll teach into that. And so don't be worried. Just stay tuned and God will lead us. So God bless you, my friends.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.